Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board, there is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
Nation Sports Show. I am your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow the 110 Nation at the 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook, my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports, the 110 Nation fan page, the 110 Nation Sports. I keep forgetting we added the dub back into the and got the Facebook to finally approve that. And check out the site, www.110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. Presently working on number 43, that is the Mississippi State Bulldogs, on my top 50 programs for 2020. If you've not been over there yet, go over to www.110nationsports.com. I am doing my top 50 college programs as we get ready to roll into the season. I started with number 50, working my way down to number one, presented by Carolina Sports Plus. About halfway through the list, the countdown, we will be adding a giveaway. And Carolina Sports Plus is going to hook somebody up with some merchandise, some college merchandise. If you get the answer or the whatever we decide to do, right? So make sure that you guys go over to the site. You can check the countdown. We also have the main list, the actual Carolina Sports Plus, Lord have mercy. The jokes are coming in on Messenger. We got the post with the Carolina Sports Plus. It's actually got all the countdown of all the teams and the links. All you got to do is go there, the main page of the actual countdown, and hit on all the colleges all the programs as I release them. But also go and check out the rest of the sites. Did a piece, yesterday or the day before, talking about Patrick Mahomes' ridiculous contract. 10-year extension, still had 2 years left in the current contract with $27.6 million on the table. Now we're going to add another $477 million with the capabilities of $503 million. Basically, we're saying that man's going to make anywhere between $47 to $50 million a year, trumping what was previously the highest of $35 million a year with Russell Wilson. I thought a little bit about that and some other headlines that have gone on in the sports world over the last few days. So make sure you guys jump over there. Speaking of Carolina Sports Plus, I want to make sure that I thank Carolina Sports Plus and Morda Music for being the great marketing partners and helping us do what we do and help us continue to grow the way we grow. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do this. So got to make sure that I thank them. Make sure you go over to Facebook, check out Carolina Sports Plus. Great deal, great merchandise, all your sporting needs. You got some great deals. He hook you up, be able to cash app them, and he'll get it sent out that day for you. Also, go over to More to Music. That's MOORE2 Music. And check out moretomusic.com for all your DJing needs. You got an event, get your DJ booked today. So make sure you guys go over there and check that out. We've got Izzo. Finally got a hold of him. He was supposed to be with us on Monday night. Get some sleep. He said, no, he passed. He got home after work, straight passed out. Oh, Lord. Joke's still coming in. Miss Brandy wants to know if she wants to change her name to miss DJ Sports someday. So, we're gonna put that in our vows, right? Got home straight past that after work. He will be joining us tonight at 8:30 to get you guys caught up on all the latest going on in the NHL. Tomorrow night's Race Chat Live. Guys will be back in the studio doing their thing, talking some racing. We had what? Indianapolis this year. I should have known. I shouldn't even have to briefly think about it. As we had tickets to this weekend's race before the overreacting hype media COVID-19 garbage has gone on and not allowed to be in the stands. And so now we have to wait till next year for myself to finally be able to go to Indy for the first time. Kevin Harvick wins and has won back to back and at Indianapolis. So looking forward to their inputs. They also got Ashley Merriweth joining them tomorrow night. About 9 o'clock, talk about Midwest Modifieds. So looking forward to having her on the show and hanging out and all that. Enjoying the upgrade. For those that missed Monday night's show, Miss Brandy and I went out Monday and we upgraded the studio. Went from we was having issues mainly my end. Having issues with it sounding muffled and cutting in and out and everything else. I'm doing the phone through a gaming headset to my phone. So I dusted off and found the power supply to my multimedia mixer and went out and got a brand new nice. Nice. I can hear. I felt bad Monday night. My mom walked in the studio and had people come over, whatever. And she was just letting me know as we'll be going to the Cincinnati Bengals preseason game September 3rd. She's letting me know we got tickets to the preseason game. And Lord have mercy, this microphone picked up everything. Whoever had came to the door, I could hear through the new headset that I got as well to go with the plug into this mixer. I can hear everything in it. It's loud, and it's not. I guess it's not just at my end, as Miss Brandy had let me know that it was loud when she was listening to the show Monday night. So got her on the other end. She's actually dipped out of the studio. She'll be back into the studio at 8:30. We're still working out the kinks and making sure we got all the levels right. So I want to make sure that I'm not extremely loud and Izzo's extremely low when trying to get this all worked out before the Brown Eye show. Well, we're going to have multi-guests and everything else going on. So, but did a mass upgrade in the system. Went from a gaming headset and just the phone to the mixer, the professional cables instead of little auxiliary cables and everything else, and spent quite a few $100s upgrading the studio. So hopefully for your guys' enjoyment and pleasure needs, I hope we got that all taken care of and everything sounds better. The days that we don't have the show, at least Monday through Friday, so that would be Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'm speaking of 110 Nation Sports Show. I will be having the 110 Nation Sports update. You guys can catch that over on Spreaker because all the shows are syndicated over to Spreaker. So you guys can catch them and all the shows there as well. But you can come catch my updates. They're about 5 to 10 minutes. It just means an opportunity to sit in the studio once I find a new toy. But to and enjoy this new studio. But to get you guys caught up on all the updates that's gone on in the sporting world on the days we don't have shows. As we announced, Beast by Dre yesterday on the updates is going to be sponsored by Bubba Wallace and trying to stand united with Bubba Wallace and Donald Trump's comments, and I'll talk about that here in a minute. But I'm going to talk about Patrick Mahomes and the breakdown of his contract and other things that went on yesterday. So make sure you guys check those out and make sure you guys follow us on Spreaker and follow us on Blog Talk Radio as well. Better the numbers, the better, the more follows and the better the numbers, the more that it helps us continue to grow. We got some goals we're working on reaching, going into year number 10, April 15th, 2021, be 10 years. Crazy to know that we've been doing this for 10 years. It's crazy to just think about all the different athletes we've had on the show and different guests we've had on the show. And all those that have been part of this, those that are still with us, those that have passed, and hopefully going into year 10, we hit these goals and continue to grow. I think I ain't set an actual goal mark of what we're going to be working on. It's something I'm going to be pressing over the next couple of years, and we'll have a goal day here in real near future of actually being in a location. And this being something we do, that's we have people working and riding around the clock, or at least full-time basis during the day, and getting these shows to be more frequent and more fulfilling through the day. Got a lot of things we're working on, a lot of things we're trying to expand, and this was something we accidentally kind of fell into when this all came about. I had no idea what a podcast or a blog even was. I was just trying to look to supplement my income and job change, and kind of fell into this, and then it became something that all of us that got involved truly and passionately loved, and here we are almost 10 years later still doing this. Miss Lee's been on board, God knows, 6-7 years at this point. And Chris has been on probably a handful of years, and Craig's been on 2-3 years. His 5 years, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe last week was his 5-year mark. And some others that still would be with us, Steve Billmeyer, who passed away a couple of years back, being part of was with us the One Ten Nation. For those who don't know who Steve Billmeyer was, you know, he's the one that kind of helped make the movie Days of Thunder, was crew chief for Tim Richmond, put Jimmy Johnson in his first car, and many, many others. Racing with Big Sweat was a very big success, and we had a lot of drivers come through that show, and it was an amazing time. And then, of course, a longtime co-host of mine, Mike Perricone, lost him, 2 years ago. He did his own show on Friday night, and was a real big help and a real big part of our growth here at the One Ten Nation. If you're out there listening, and you got a show already, and you just need a platform to put it on, we would love to syndicate your show and put your show on our network. Right now, we only got shows going 3 days a week, so I got 4 days we can find a day to syndicate it on and put it on, and get you our listeners and help fill our radio network spots. Maybe you don't have a platform and you want to join the 110 Nation. You got a show or an idea for a show or want to get into hosting your own show. Maybe you're not radio. Maybe you're radio shy. Maybe you got thoughts and opinions, but you feel more comfortable typing it on a keyboard and having your stuff published on our site. Or maybe it's behind the scenes stuff. It could be work with Miss Lee in PR, or work help grow our social media. Or maybe just come off a part of a show, like Izzo comes on 30 minutes once a week, and knows NHL better than anybody I've ever met in my life, knows NHL better than I know any sport, and love having him on his expertise. All you do is hit me up. You can either email me, MrCJSports@gmail.com. You can go to our site, www.the110nationsports.com. There's a tab at the top to send you over the page to join the 110 Nation, and all you got to do is just put your information there. Or you can hit me up on Facebook. Just DM me, MrCJSports is my fan page. Or you can hit me up on Twitter at MrCJSports. Any of those ways are possible, and we would love to have an opportunity to help get you on here. Right before the show, there was some breaking news on ESPN that Ohio State volunteer workouts have been halted with the new cases of COVID coming out, and then them having an increase in number on new cases. Same with North Carolina. They have halted all of their voluntary workouts as well. I kind of scratch my head with all of this. This is actually a conversation that Miss Brandy and I, especially since 6 o'clock tonight, we are one of 7 counties in Ohio that is back to, we're going to use the word that they use, mandatory to wear face masks, but in the same sense, basically it said in the press release that the police are not going to get involved, that the only thing can happen is the health department can be called, and our particular town does not have a health department person for that. So basically, you're letting us know it's just highly recommended that you wear a face mask, because there's nothing really can, I mean, you can get an $85 fine, but nobody's out. The cops got better things to do and worry about with everything going on versus wearing about some face masks. But what's insane about this and the conversation we've had repeatedly is the fact that we see more positive test results because we're giving more tests. There's more tests accessible. Now they're doing them for free. And so it's not like the increased percentage of people is higher. So it's not, in other words, before we might have had 100 people testing, 10% of them, I'm just throwing numbers, I don't know the exact numbers, 10% of them were positive. Now we're having 10,000 people getting tested, but we're still having the same percentage of people. So yes, there's more people, but that's because we're having more tests. And then on top of that, there's no guarantee that we're even having more people positive. We just know there's more people positive because there's tests. All those people that had it before, we don't know because nobody was getting tested because the tests were limited and the weights and the lines and everything else. So there's this false narrative here that all of a sudden because we stopped making people wear face masks and we let people get out of their house and everything else, one, it was expected to be a higher, more people with it anyway, because you shut everybody's immune system down and kept everybody locked up with these masks and was basically hurting everybody's health. And so now you got people out, and they, of course, they're going to catch this virus. Not that it's really been that critical, but I was talking to somebody that she works with, you know, the ER here in Kettering. There was like 4 people in the entire ER. They're not overwhelmed. They're not overbooked. There was another hospital in the area, there was nobody at the ER. So the false narrative that all of a sudden we just got all these people that are catching COVID, and now the ERs are overrun and overwhelmed, that's not even the case. But more specific to the sports, why they are allowing themselves to get sucked into this, because it's not, like I said, it's not a higher percentage of people are coming up positive, it's just a higher number, period, because there's higher amount of tests given. The percentage is still the same, and the death rate percentage, the mortality rate or whatever it is, that was 1%, is now just getting to be less and less because more people are testing positive. We're finding out more and more people have this, but not more and more people are dying from it. The same amount of people are dying from it, so now even the mortality rate is getting lower, and this is getting to be even more people die from the flu and almost anything else in the world than actually die from COVID-19. And people get so sucked in to let the media just scare the holy mess out of them. It is insane. It blows my mind. The only thing they're really forcing is if you go into a building and the business makes it mandatory and you refuse, yes, the business is allowed to call the cops, and then, yes, they will get involved with that part of it. But outside of that, they're not getting involved. So why these sports programs that are outside is voluntary workouts, or in these gyms, that you can have the special teams and you can have half of them in the afternoon and half of them in the morning, half in the afternoon. Then one day you can have the offensive line. One day you can have the receivers. You can make these people, these athletes go outside and do what workouts they can. You can put some of the machines outside, as much money as these universities got. There's no doubt in my mind, you can't set up some benches and some stuff outside and run drills and everything else, keep everybody socially distanced or whatever the case may be. You can have the gym set up where only half of the offensive line or just the offensive line is in morning, the receivers in the evening, split it up, get everybody, make sure that they're separated and everything else. Rotated, you get each person can get in there probably twice a week in these gyms, especially the biggest of these gyms are what they have now. And everything get wiped down in between use. I went to the Planet Fitness, not till yesterday with Miss Brandy. There was hardly anybody there. Everybody was in there wiping everything down. Everybody was practicing social distancing. Everybody was making sure. Like I told her, when I first started going to a gym, we didn't spray stuff down. We didn't spray, you're talking 20-something years ago. You didn't spray the benches down. You didn't spray nothing down. As a matter of fact, my best friend, he ran a gym. And he would bring a towel. We would go after hours. We worked in a town in Smithfield, North Carolina. We would usually get out of that store sometime 10 o'clock or so at night. We drove about an hour and 15 minutes to Sanford. And he had the keys to the gym. He helped run it, I think, mainly on the weekends, and we worked out at night, and eventually he ended up running it later on after we ended up his pizza shop in 100. But we'd get there at 11 o'clock at night, we would work out, and he would always bring a towel. And it was like the first person I ever saw do this. But he would bring a towel, and every time that he would get on the bench or anything that his head would touch it, he would put a towel down. And then when he got up, he picked his towel up, or, you know, I would say something to him, or I'd got a hand to him, and then I would do it. I, you know, it is what it is. I know at one point in time, someone wiped everything down, you know, so it wasn't like, but that's just the way it was. Like, you look back at old videos and everything else, this was not what, you know, people did. People didn't spray everything down every time they get ready to use it, every time they got done with it, and everything else. So that was something that, you know, it's been something that I've seen gradually become a thing, and you know, I understand. People are sweating. It is kind of nasty. So I have no problem with that. But one of the things that, like I told Ms. Brady yesterday, one of the things that I never really wiped down, I'd wipe down the bench and everything, was the dumbbells. Like, you know, you went and put the dumbbells up, then you came back over, sprayed down the bench, and you wiped the bench down, throw your paper towel away, and went over the next machine. And I noticed people at the gym yesterday were making sure that where they put their hands out on the dumbbells, they're wiping that down. And where they touch the machines, which a lot of times people, even when they touch where they touch the machines, they wiped it down. But that being more of an emphasis and stuff. So I know if you have people that are all walks of life that are there just to get an hour workout and everything else. And like I said, the gym wasn't even busy. I was surprised, especially since you're supposed to kind of keep a distance. I don't know how the cardio machines was and everything else. I don't know, Ms. Brandy, if you went over there at all. Every time I saw you, you were somewhere other than the cardio, because Ms. Brandy and I had went and did about a two-hour hike in the woods at Caesar Creek. And it was pretty tense up, down, everything else kind of thing. So we kind of got our cardio in before that. We're trying to get into the cycle where we get these intense hikes and these power walks and beach body in, and then we also get the gym in. But we try to do the other stuff outside of the gym. So we're just in there to the gym to work out and try to preferably get all the cardio, because we enjoy being outside. So we'd rather as much as possible get our cardio in outside and just do the workout part inside. But I don't know if you noticed the machines, and I know you're listening, so you might be able to tell me or not if you noticed there was any. There were every other cardio machine, so she did notice that. So I know that if Miss Brandy, a school teacher, CJ, a Circle K manager, Joe Schmo in there, a McDonald's grill man, Joe Schmo in there, a Nike outlet worker, blah, 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 you know, I don't know who the rest of these people were, are able to do this in social distance and wipe everything down and it not be an issue. I'm not understanding why you have athletes that we're not going to use the word pay, but they're going to school for free, so basically they're getting paid, and the whole paying college athletes thing, that's a whole argument, a whole other stupid topic for another day. But you're going to tell me that you've got professional trainers, you've got your athletic director, you've got head coaches, you've got specialty coaches. You got all these people there, and you're telling me that you can't organize this, especially in the off season when there's no school. You can't organize this in a way that you can't keep people to a minimum. Everybody get a couple days in the gym. Everybody get a couple days out on the field. I mean, you could be out there flipping tires, using the rope, cardio, core stuff, even the simple stuff like we did in the military where you push-ups, side saddle hops, which we called it in the military, jumping jacks. There's all these things you can do. You can take the dumbbells, the cowbell things, and all this stuff outside. So you're telling me that you can't organize this in a way that this is a possibility, that you can't divide your team up in enough where they get a couple of days in the gym, they get the other 2-3 days outside, and you practice social distancing that way they are able to prepare themselves for the upcoming season? Am I the only one that's not understanding this process, especially have an opportunity to be in the gym with non-athletes, that this is not their livelihood, their potential career, how they plan on making their millions of dollars or making a living? Like, is it this complicated? Am I missing something here? I'm not quite sure. Next up, we got Izzo joining us at 8:30 in the studio, talk some NHL, which is about 4 minutes from now. I want to make sure, first of all, at the midway point here, that I thank Carolina Sports Plus and More to Music. Without these great marketing partners, we wouldn't be able to do what we do or grow the way we grow. Make sure you go over to on Facebook, check out Carolina Sports Plus for all your sporting needs. Also, go to moretomusic.com. That is more with the number 2, music.com. Book your DJ today for all or any occasions. You can also go to our site, www.the1thingnationsports.com. Either on the very bottom, on the front page, when you first get on there, there's 2 banners. All you do is click on it, and it'll send you to where you need to go. I can't make it any easier. All you got to do is just go to our site, www.the1thingnationsports.com, and just click on the banners. You go to the articles, it's on the right-hand side, or I even got a page that says Marketing Partners. Got the banner there. All you do is click on it. I made this simple as possible. Check them out. Show them your support for supporting us and help make all this possible. Like I said earlier, Beats by Dre decided that they were going to step in and they're going to help out Bubba Wallace and be a sponsor and throw him a little bit of money. In response to the whole Donald Trump asking if Bubba Wallace had made an given an apology. Like I said in my update yesterday, we'll get a little bit more into it today. Just like with Obama, I wish these presidents would just stay out of the sports. But I'm also the same type that I'm not going to say necessarily stick the ball in sports for athletes, but I turn into sports and view and dedicate my time to sports to get away from everything going on in the world. So I don't particularly need my athletes bringing the world into the sports. This is my opportunity to get away from everything. Just like I don't need my presidents to either be filling out basketball brackets and then there being a whole spectacle about it, or Trump necessarily throwing his 2 cents in on Bubba Wallace. As a NASCAR fan and a fan of sports, we all already know that we're owed an apology. We all already know that this was blown way out of proportion, that there was a cry for a hate crime before it was actually a hate crime. And instead of apologizing, saying, you know what, we jumped the gun. Oops, we made a mistake. It's a garage door handle, rope, whatever you want to call it. Before we did all the research, we said it was a noose and we apologized. You know, just the way it looked, everything going on. You know, we took it the wrong way and we apologized. Instead of putting tails between legs, NASCAR takes a picture of a brand new robe, like I said, on their, or the update, I think it's, they even had the tag on it. I mean, you could tell it's a brand new robe. It was definitely not the robe that the picture that everybody had seen across the world. And they try to double down because that the ratings were at an all-time high. And you watch the whole NASCAR community come together and push Bubba Wallace's car down down pit road and everything else. This whole everything, which that was the only thing great. In a moment when we thought there was hate and someone was being a very hateful person and doing this, we got to watch everybody come together and be united, and it was great. But then the next day, you find out that no, it was not a noose. It was a garage door rope, and instead of doubling down, NASCAR for the last 2 weeks is force fed. As I've seen a tweet come out or a report come out that he leads the fan votes, which I don't know how true that is. They tend to hype that up every year to try to get some underdog to be able to get into the race that they're trying to push their. Danica Patrick was 1 year. There was another driver another year that they kind of pushed the driver's name out there and made it seem like this person was the most popular thing, which I'm sorry, but across the NASCAR fan base, Bubba Wallace is probably the least liked race driver. I think even least liked than Kyle Busch at this point. So you're not going to convince me that Bubba Wallace leads in the popular vote to get into the NASCAR All-Star race. NASCAR just doubling down on this, trying to ride high on this, which the ratings were down last week as people are really getting tired of this dragging on and being force-fed. Like I said last week, or even maybe Monday's show, we have heard Bubba Wallace's name more times in the last 2 weeks than we have heard his entire career. It's one thing to kind of let it smooth over. It's another thing to you constantly be pounding it down our throats. In hopes that we'll get past this. You're doubling down instead of just putting your tail between your legs and just letting it be bygones be bygones. You're going on with this. And then you got Bubba Wallace going on, and I know what it was. This is what it was. And just you got sponsorships. You've made your money. RPM has picked up sponsors. You've gotten the TV time. That's what your sponsors needed. That's what you needed for a race team that has been suffering from the financial end of it for a very long time, which I've never understood why it was so hard for Richard Petty, the king of racing, to be able to get sponsors and get legit drivers in there. Because I can't tell you the last time I remember, maybe Kyle or Richard Petty himself, was the last legit driver to drive in that number 43 car. Everybody else has been at best average drivers. No big name drivers, no nothing like that. Just average drivers. Now you got a little bit of money, and all three of y'all are sitting pretty. Except for NASCAR, is still kind of dragging out to a point that you're losing some of your viewership. But like I said, I don't feel that Trump should add his 2 cents. Yes, I feel that at some point, tails just need to be put between legs. Look, we overreacted. That's not what it was. You keep beating us down the NASCAR fans' throats. You keep segregating your fans, your loyal fans from the sport, and you keep pushing this mold of all you're going to do is continue to drive your viewers. And your ratings down. That is all you're doing at this point. At some point, you got to say, you know what? We've rolled this all we can. Let's just stop this and let's move forward and let's work on building this sport and let's work on building, you know, this community and it being a unified thing versus you're killing yourself with this. I don't get it. I really don't. We got Izzo in the studio. I'm getting ready to throw him in there. I'm glad to have him back with us tonight. Like I said, getting him in here, Ms. Brandy's going to let me know how leveled we are. And so kind of give us a brief moment if things are not leveled out real well. And Izzo, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, we're doing pretty good. Kind of unfortunate that I missed the other day. It was a long day at the other job, and I kind of slept through the 7:30. But, hey, we're here today. We've got some hockey coming back here soon. And actually, it turns out, Jay, that I couldn't ask for a better birthday gift since my birthday's on August 1st. That's when we're supposed to have hockey pick back up and have this little play-in system start off here. But when I kind of read that August 1st was going to be the startup date for the rest of the hockey season, I kind of got a little dance in my pants, if you know what I mean, Jay. So just kind of looking forward to that, and that was just some pretty good news. But something we'll kind of get into here in a little bit. So, you know, without any further ado, we can jump right into this program today.
Yes, you sent me that over. You sent me over a link talking about the NHL and the Players Association agreeing to extend the CBA and start play August 1st. Let's kind of go a little bit into the details. Do we know how many games, how long, what we're looking at for that? And then also, the CBA is supposed to go through the 25-26 season if ratified. Anything stick out in the CBA? Anything that you liked, didn't like? Anything that you were surprised in the CBA? Let's jump into that.
Well, you know, that's a good place to start. But the CBA, like you just said, is going to be extended through the 2025-26 season. The league announced this past Monday, and both sides also agreed to resume play on August 1st as part of the protocols for Phase 3 and Phase 4 for the NHL return to play plan. So, opening of training camps, which is the start of Phase 3, which is scheduled for about 5 days from now on July 13th. Teams will then travel on July 26th to one of the two hub cities where they'll begin kind of Phase 4 with the play of the Stanley Cup qualifiers, like you said, that are going to begin August 1st. The CBA extension, you know, just given this whole coronavirus situation, Jay, there have been some things that have been, I guess, kind of tabled for right now, you know, just because of all this coronavirus kind of going on and everything. The NHL is just kind of more focused on getting the product back to its fans and completing the season so that way that they have, you know, a Stanley Cup winner. But the extended agreement will allow the planning for an international calendar and the events that are including the NHL All-Star Game, the Winter Classic, and the Stadium Series games. This will not be affected, you know, whatsoever right now. I do imagine that, you know, as we kind of go through and get into later in the season and after the Stanley Cup is done, we're going to get a clearer picture of, you know, how some of these, you know, some of these big name events for the NHL are going to be affected and everything. So, right now, the play is going to play will resume with a qualifier. 16 teams will be playing 8 best of 5 series and a round robin among the top 4 teams and for the Stanley Cup playoffs. So we're going to be. This is definitely something new, and I'm kind of excited to kind of see how this could play out because that number one pick. Is also going to be thrown into this this play-in qualifier too. Each of the teams that are eliminated in that first in that qualifier in that play-in round are going to be entered into another drawing where we're going to find out which team, which one of those teams that are out of the play-in are going to get that number one pick. So the top qualifiers. Right now in the East are the Boston Bruins, Tampa Bay Lightning, Washington Capitals, and the Philadelphia Flyers. They'll play. They have the best top. Those are the top four teams in the conference right now, and they'll be getting the first. They won't be they won't have to play in the play-in. They'll have a bye until this play-in is finished. So. The four best of five series teams that are going to be in the East are going to be the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Montreal Canadiens versus the Montreal Canadiens, excuse me, the Carolina Hurricanes versus the New York Rangers, the Islanders versus the Florida Panthers, and the Toronto Maple Leafs versus your Columbus Blue Jackets, Jay. And that's what we have tailed up for the play-in series in the East. In the West, right now the top four teams that don't have to play in the play-in, the defending Stanley Cup champions, the St. Louis Blues, Colorado Avalanche, Vegas Golden Knights, and the Dallas Stars will play in the round robin, but not into the best of five series in the West. The other teams are going to be in the play-in series. Right now, penned in, we have the Edmonton Oilers versus the Chicago Blackhawks. The Nashville Predators are going to be taking on the Arizona Coyotes. Vancouver Canucks against the Minnesota Wild. And the Calgary Flames versus the Winnipeg Jets. And like I said, losing teams from these qualifiers will have a chance at the number one pick for the 2020 draft. That'll be coming up later on down the line. So that's what the NHL has planned right now. The NHL has been posting updates and news articles right now about, you know, tests and everything like that, which players, you know, are going to be, you know, are going to be in one of the city hubs and everything. So right now, even with those city hubs, the Edmonton Oilers home, the Rogers Place Arena, is going to be the one of the hub cities, and Toronto is going to be the other one for the Eastern Conference. So the NHL is going to be playing its games, the rest of its season in this play-in, or its play-in and playoffs in these two cities right now, all up in Canada, which I think is pretty cool, you know, given that the sport is from Canada and everything. I think this is really going to kind of help the game out in the long run, Jay, when it comes back to getting play resumed again.
Now, when you say two hub cities, is it basically the East is going to play all their games in one arena and all the West in one arena? Is that what you mean by two hub cities?
Yes, that's what they mean right now. The Eastern Conference is going to be playing in Toronto. The Western Conference at the Rogers Place, where the Edmonton Oilers are playing right now. And, you know, it's there was a list of teams that were on that list for both conferences. I know Chicago, Pittsburgh, even Columbus was on that list. You had Minnesota, just a lot of good markets to really try and advertise and get some hockey back going. But the league chose Vancouver. Or not Vancouver, but Edmonton and Toronto, respectively, as the two hub cities and everything. So it's sort of similar to what the NBA is doing with all the teams going down into Florida, into Orlando to play the rest of their season. Okay?
So basically, we're going to see from August 1st until this is done a bunch of games throughout the day, every day until this is over with then.
That's what I'm guessing, which is pretty much cool for me. You know, I'm not going to complain too much. But I do imagine that we are going to get a lot of matinee games, you know, and it's going to be a different aspect. This is not something that we have ever experienced as a community, as a whole, throughout the whole sports world. So we've seen labor strikes and, you know, other countless events that have kind of postponed, you know, a week of the season, whether it be football, baseball, basketball, hockey, you know, we've seen some random things, you know, throughout the years, but this is something that, you know, we've never experienced before. And, you know, just really looking forward to it. You know, essentially, you know, I think basketball and hockey are going to kind of benefit from this because it's going to be like a huge, tournament, you know, with a lot of big names in it. You know, I do know that some guys, you know, are kind of really, you know, pondering whether they want to come back and play on the basketball side. But when you look on the hockey side, these guys are just anxious to get back, Jay. They miss the locker room atmosphere. They miss, you know, being on the ice together and having the camaraderie that comes with it. You know, you miss that locker room banter. You miss your fellow teammates and your line mates, and you're just looking forward to getting back on the ice. So, you know, I think it's been good for hockey since hockey's always on the back burner when it comes to media coverage, from the sports world and everything, other than except when, something tragic happens or anything like that. But with the way the NHL's been handling this, I think with how they've kind of really come up with this system, it's probably one of the better systems I've seen for, a professional sports league to come back. Unfortunately, baseball kind of got clipped before, the season really even got started. And basketball and hockey are so much alike. It's, you're just missing skates and a stick when it comes to running up and down the court when it comes to basketball. So, I'm really kind of glad that, hockey hasn't gone through what basketball has gone through. These guys are just anxious right now. There are guys that are reporting to their practice rinks to get some, workouts in and everything before these, supposed training camps are going to open up here in the next 5 days or so. So really looking forward to that. And like I said, this is just going to be one big old tournament where you're going to have, the best of the best. Doing battle not only for the Stanley Cup, but there were some teams. If you look at Chicago, Jay, Chicago this past year was near at the bottom of the standings until it got around December, and then December and January, and even in parts of February, Chicago really started making a push and was making a name to try and get into that wild card situation before the postponement of the season. So now, with those bottom rung teams, they have a chance to, be very dangerous and knock off one of these top teams who, had playoff aspirations and were probably on, one hell of a streak and had one hell of a thing going on, around that time of March when everything got postponed. So it's going to be an interesting concept to see how it comes back, but I'm glad that the CBA and the Players Association have been, working hand in hand, and the NHL really keeping, a hands-on grip on everything going on, not only from, choosing the hub cities, but making sure that, travel arrangements are going to be, are clean and safe, and that the players, coaching staff, and anybody else who's involved is going to be, taking the proper steps to making sure that that we get everybody, safe, so that way they can get on the ice and perform. So, I haven't heard any kind of different rules, kind of like with baseball, what I've seen baseball, no high fives, no spitting, and something about throwing the ball, Jay, I think I kind of picked up on the radio the other day that I'm not entirely too sure what they were talking about, but, certainly no rules like that. Hockey players, they have helmets and they have gloves. And even the goalies have their own masks that they wear, but they're not COVID-19 preventive, essentially. But, they'll be fist bumping with gloves on and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle guys sitting in the players' bench, too, because when you look at games on TV or if you've ever been to a game, those guys are, essentially shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah. I know that with, like, baseball – it's now a 60-game sprint versus 182-game marathon. And so when we look at the rosters and look at teams, how they are right now at the gate, because, every game is more important now because you don't have 182 games to play out, and you have the long, drawn-out part, just like the NBA. The mid part of the season, usually the – I would say the middle third of the season, usually teams are – that's when you start seeing your LeBrons and your Kawhi Leonards kind of rotating a nights off because the middle part is not such an essential part of the season. Now, they're going to go finish the rest of their season and do the playoffs, and they're trying to get all this wrapped up in a couple-month period of time. So there's going to be a lot of games, and so it's the way we look at the teams and who we feel are going to win – win it all a little bit differently because now it's more games more often and it's a sprint versus it being a marathon. With the way the teams are set up now in the NHL and the rosters, who do you feel is best suited for this run at the end? And is there anybody that you feel that maybe wasn't looked at as a team before this happened, but knowing their roster is going to be a team that you feel might come out of the gate sort of a dark horse and, like, you know, they're ready. They're a team that they're designed to have this quick pace, you know, to the finish versus it being, you know, a team that maybe wasn't as deep and everything, wasn't going to have the players to go night in and night out throughout the whole season, but now they can just finish the season and got that power right there.
Well, you know, and that's a big thing. That's actually a great question, Jay, because not only do you, if you look at some of these these questions, like you just recently asked, most of these teams, for example, if you look at the Columbus Blue Jackets, they were just riddled with a couple injuries where these guys were going to be out for the rest of the season. Now, guys like Seth Jones, Cam Atkinson, these are two guys that were kind of battling through some pretty significant injuries. I do believe Seth Jones had a leg or an ankle injury of some sort that was going to keep him out for, I think, the rest of the season. But a lot of these guys are getting, you know, are able to come back, you know, especially the guys that had some season-ending, you know, some threatening injuries for the loss of the rest of the season before everything kind of came out and got postponed and everything. But especially, you know, teams that have significant injuries, you know, on their roster. Like I said, guys like, or teams like Columbus, a couple teams, you know, that are kind of shuffling some new guys. When you look at the, like I said earlier, the Chicago Blackhawks, they were playing some terrific hockey right before the cancellation or the postponement of the season back in March. So, you know, when you look at a team like, just for example, just in the West with Chicago, that's a team that is experienced. That's a team that has some guys that have won a couple Stanley Cups on their roster. And then when you look at me on the opposite side of the spectrum, like your Columbus Blue Jackets, that's a very young team, a team that's been in the postseason and has tasted some postseason success there in recent years and everything. And they have a great head coach right there, too, that can – somehow just knows when the right time to put the finger on the pulse is, Jay. So, you know, and with the way this this play-in playoff system is going to play out, you know, anybody's got a shot right now to make it into the actual Stanley Cup playoffs. So, you know, you got five games to really kind of prove your worth and everything, you know, right then and there, especially when it comes to that play-in series. So when you're really looking at the, you know, kind of the bottom bracket teams, when you look at the, you know, the Rangers, you know, the Montreal Canadiens, these are a couple of teams that were at the bottom of the standings. I mean, if you look at the Canadiens right now, they're 31-31. You know, the Rangers, the Hurricanes and the Rangers are slightly bit better right now. You know, and then you just kind of look at some of the other teams, especially kind of going out into the West. You know, the Edmonton Oilers, you know, who are the top one of the top teams that have to play in the play-in. They're at 37-25-9 right now. Chicago is at 32-30-8 on the season. So, you know, if you look at other teams, you know, the Arizona Coyotes, that was another team that was made a lot of moves for Taylor Hall and Phil Kessel in the offseason. Got a great coach there in Rick Tocchet. You know, we're kind of in the bottom basement of the standings there at the beginning of the year, but have seemed to kind of dug themselves out. Right now they're sitting at 33-29-8. So Vancouver's another one who kind of surprised me because they started off a little rough. They had a little bit of a rough spot there and managed to kind of kick things up a notch and everything. So, you know, any one of these teams can be dangerous at any point in time. In the East, when it comes to the play-in system, you know, right now I have to like the Pittsburgh Penguins. They've had the most success right now. You know, Stanley Cups just a few years ago, have been in the playoffs for the past, you know, countless many seasons right now. I think four, five, six seasons they've been in the playoffs. And, you know, without them being one of the top four teams in the East. They have my vote, you know, in the play-in side on the Eastern side to take that that play-in round and everything. And when I'm looking at the West, you know, with the Oilers, Blackhawks, Predators, Coyotes, Canucks, Wild, and Flames, and the Jets, excuse me, right now, I mean, it's kind of hard to sleep on Chicago right now. But, you know, I'm really kind of looking forward to seeing what the Winnipeg Jets are going to do when it comes to that. I think the Winnipeg Jets and the Chicago Blackhawks right now, those are my two. Chicago's got to be my pick, and, you know, Winnipeg being a close second, Jay, when it comes to teams coming out of the West when it comes to that play-in. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting thing. I am looking forward to watching as much hockey, you know, August 1st, because, you know, like I said, August 1st is my birthday, Jay, and God knows I love my hockey, and, I've never had hockey on my birthday. I've never seen hockey in August before, so this is going to be a first for me once we hit August 1st here in a couple weeks.
Looking forward to another great season, and things to wrap up and get to see all this finish in the style that all these sports are going to finish. Was there any other headlines or breaking news that we didn't cover that we need to jump into? I know most of that was sent over to me prior to Monday, and of course we're finding about August 1st start time. But was there anything else that rolled out that we need to jump into before we get you out of the studio?
The only other thing right now is the Seattle expansion team right now is going to be delaying their nickname until at least the fall right now. that's been the only other thing. That's been kind of floating around right now because, you know, they're in the process of getting everything organized. So we were actually supposed to get a nickname, you know, anywhere from now starting from a couple weeks ago up until now. So I do know that they were planning to unveil their nickname during the playoffs at some point in time before all this COVID kind of happened and everything. So right now, that's just been kind of delayed until the fall. Really no answer on when that's supposed to be happening. So I also do know that the NHL is constantly posting updates when it comes to COVID tests, positive tests. I'm not entirely too sure if players or if teams are releasing players' names about who might be, who tests positive or whatever. But, you know, I do know that the NHL is giving updates every couple days about anything dealing with the COVID pandemic going on right now. So, you know, right now we're 5 days away from players to start reporting to their respective camps, just a couple weeks away from them to finish off the rest of the season in the playoffs. So, you know, we're just kind of – we're inching along, Jay. We're moving forward in the sports world, and hopefully we don't have any more delays or setbacks so that way we can get, you know, our way of life, you know, back to normal and everything. Nope, did I lose you?
Oh, yeah, muted, my bad. I want to thank you for hanging out with us, for joining us. My cable went bad. One of the cable I was using, I can't find my other one. The one I was using has gone bad, so I couldn't hear it, so I had to have you on speaker. But then in order to hear, but I didn't want the feedback through the microphone and a double play. I muted the microphone so that it didn't double feedback, and then realized I didn't unmute myself. But I'm looking forward to having you back next Monday night, 8:30. Talk some more NHL. Hit me up after I get wrapped up here in the next couple minutes, and we'll run through the stuff I was going to run through with you. You have a great week, and we'll be talking.
Hey, it's always a blast, and we'll be talking to you guys next Monday night. And hope everybody stays safe, and just hang on. We're almost through it. Sports is almost back, and We can enjoy our old ways again. So till next Monday, or until Monday, we'll talk to you guys later.
That was Izzo, our NHL expert. Glad to have him ever back. Take that part off. Back. Glad to have him back in the studio every Monday night. I'm looking forward to what he has for us next Monday night. Well, thank everybody for tuning in. Look forward to tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Race Chat Live with Craig and Chris. Don't forget, 9 o'clock, they got Ashley Merwith joining them, modified Midwest modified driver. So excited about having her on the show, and excited to listen to the guys cut up and talk some racing. Give us a follow on Twitter at the 110 Nation. Give us a like on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports. Also, check out the site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Make sure you're here. Race Chat Live on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. CJ Sports. You are a part of the 110 Nation, so be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation Sports. Until next time.